Let's pray. Lord, as we turn to your word now, we ask you would reveal yourself to us, that we would see Jesus with the eyes of our hearts, so that we might be changed, so that our faith in him would be strengthened. We ask that for the glory of your name. Amen. A leper is cleansed, a servant is healed, a woman is revived, and then we're told, when evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word and healed all the sick. Having read this passage, what else can we say but we need this Jesus? Our battle against the coronavirus pandemic has confronted us with something we often try to ignore, that we live in a world cloaked with sickness and illness of many kinds. It's easy in the Western world to live as though good health is our right and should be our normal expectation, and that everything can be treated through the wonders of medical progress. Though, of course, we're aware of tragic exceptions, it's easy to have that sort of breezy confidence. Not so much now, though. So when we read a chapter that shows a world cloaked in sickness, and we see the extent of his healing power, don't we think we need this Jesus? Though we may well be asking a question, will Jesus heal our sickness? Well, we're starting a new series today in this section of Matthew's Gospel, chapters 8 and 9, which follows on from the Sermon on the Mount that we studied a year or so ago. And in these chapters, rather than listening to lots of Jesus' teaching as we did before, we get to see Jesus in action. And as we look at him, we want to do two things. We want to see him clearly, see who he is and what he's doing. And then we want to consider what it means to respond to him, as we should. Well, as the chapter begins, we get a short series of episodes in which we see Jesus' extraordinary ability to deal with sickness in our world. So we're going to follow that pattern. We'll look closely at Jesus, see him clearly, and then we'll think about how we respond to him each time. So as we look at Jesus here, what do we see? Well, first, see his compassion. See his compassion. As Jesus comes down from the mountain, we're told he's approached by a man with leprosy. Leprosy is no ordinary illness. It's a terrible disease of the skin. But for centuries, people were very afraid of it being passed on from person to person. So very often, lepers had to stay at a distance from others. At the moment, we're getting used to what we call social distancing, staying 2 metres or 1 metre plus away from others. But this was altogether different. Often those with leprosy had to live far away, miles away. When visiting our mission partners, Alan and Debbie Burt, in Cape Town a few years ago, I took the trip to Robben Island, famous for being the place Nelson Mandela was imprisoned for 25 years. Way before that, it had been a leper colony. So people were sent there, about 4 miles off the coast of Cape Town, far away from others. And it was the same kind of story in Jesus' day. People living separate lives. But on top of that, in Israel, if you had leprosy, God's law said you were unclean, ceremonially unclean. So you couldn't come to the temple. You were effectively cut off from God. And people with leprosy were often seen or described as cursed by God. So just imagine what it was like having that disease, cut off from your family and friends, cut off from God, everyone wanting you to keep away. But for this man, he knew there was something different about Jesus. So he comes to him, kneels before him, and says, "Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean." And what happens next tells us so much about Jesus. Verse 3, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. This man, he must have spent his life with people pulling away from him. But Jesus reaches out to touch him. some listening might remember when Princess Diana shook the hand of someone with AIDS and how that changed the kind of stigma of that disease. But this goes way beyond that, because Jesus not only reaches out to him, "I am willing," he said, "be clean." And we're told immediately he was cleansed of his leprosy. Amazing moment. Normally, if you touched someone with leprosy, you would become unclean. But here the opposite happens. Jesus' power heals and makes the unclean man clean. Now, there's more to say about this episode, as we'll see, but just consider for a moment the compassion of Jesus that we see in that touch. We see it again when he touches the hand of Peter's mother-in-law in verses 14 to 15. When we read that, we see fever and think, oh, that's no big deal. But back then, a fever was considered a disease, not a symptom, and it was the biggest killer in the ancient world. Jewish teaching forbade touching people with various kinds of fever. But again, we're told Jesus touched her hand and the fever left her. So as we look at Jesus closely, what do we see? We see a God who doesn't keep himself away from the mess of our world, but the God who comes down, the God who reaches out to us in our need. And that speaks to us, doesn't it? When we're in a mess, when we're in trouble, we easily think, God wouldn't want anything to do with me. He's not interested in helping me in this situation that I'm stuck in. Well, look to Jesus here. I am willing, he says. He reaches out. See his compassion. Second, see his power. Now, that's clear throughout this passage. Not only do we see Jesus' compassion and care, but we see he's actually able to heal in every case. Now, in the case of the man with leprosy, that was no small matter. Healing leprosy was considered as difficult as raising the dead. Only God did it in the Old Testament on a couple of occasions. And yet we're told here that the man is cleansed immediately. Jesus' power. We see it again with Peter's mother-in-law. Just notice the end of verse 15. He touched her hand and the fever left her, and she got up and began to wait on him. Now, don't read that and think, oh, poor thing, you know, couldn't we give her a break? Couldn't she have done with a bit of time to rest? But no, the point is that Jesus heals her completely. She doesn't need any time to convalesce. She's just completely back to full health, good to go, and able to serve her guest as she would have done. And then we see Jesus' power again in the scene described in verse 16. When evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word and healed all the sick. Now, there seems to be a sort of overlap between those oppressed by evil spirits and those who are sick, but you can't miss the main point. He healed them all. What's more, although his touch, as we've seen, that demonstrates his compassion in particular cases, he didn't need to touch people. He drives out spirits just by saying the word, which underlines his power, but also his authority. And that brings us to the healing of the centurion's servant. The centurion, he's an important man of high rank, and yet he is powerless to help his servant. So he comes to ask Jesus, verse 6, "Lord," he said, "my servant lies at home paralyzed, suffering terribly." Jesus said to him, "Shall I come and heal him?" And what the centurion says next is remarkable. Verse 8, the centurion replied, "Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." This centurion, he really gets something about Jesus. And that is, he sees his power, but he sees he speaks with God's authority. He understands because he says, well, it's a bit like me. I'm under the emperor's authority, so I speak with his authority, and so when I give orders, people do what I say. And he looks at Jesus and he sees he's just like that. Jesus is under God's authority, so he speaks with God's authority and can command that sickness is healed. Now we'll come back to Jesus' comment on this, but that's exactly what happens. See verse 13, then Jesus said to the centurion, go, let it be done, just as you believed it would. And his servant was healed at that moment. Now again, just consider what this tells us about Jesus. He doesn't touch the servant. He doesn't even see him. He's not with him. He simply says the word and he's healed. And that is power, isn't it? What authority he has. And it's good for us to think on that. If we see Jesus has that kind of authority, it must make a difference to us. Now for the centurion, it meant, all I need is for Jesus to give that healing command. But what might it mean for us? We're not in the same position as the centurion, meeting Jesus in his earthly ministry. Maybe we wish we were, but actually we're far more privileged because Jesus has said so much more to us in his word, and we have that word now in our Bibles. So we need to pray that we would have the faith of this centurion, having complete confidence in the authority of Jesus' word. And if we have that, then it'll make such a difference. We will believe all that he teaches us. We would see that we should obey all of his commands. We would want to heed all of his warnings. And we would also trust all of his promises. Because if the Lord says he's going to do something, it's as good as done. So, do you see Jesus' compassion? Do you see his power and authority? You may say, well, yes, I do. But given his compassion and his power to heal, well, why isn't he doing it maybe now? Why isn't he healing like this now? And that brings us to our final point. See the works of your Saviour. See the works of your Saviour. What I mean by that is this. We need to understand why Jesus is healing in these ways. Because there's more going on than just Jesus healing sick people. He is healing the sick. And I also want to say, I believe he can do that today. He is Lord. He can do as he wishes. And it's right for us to pray for the situation we're in. It's right to pray for healing. But there is more going on here. Matthew is doing one of his favourite things, showing us how Jesus fulfills what the Old Testament promised. Ever since he started his gospel with that genealogy, tracing Jesus' family line from Abraham to David to the exile, Matthew has been saying, Jesus is the one the Old Testament pointed to. He is the one we've been waiting for. And we see that through our passage. So after he heals the man with leprosy, verse 4, Jesus said to him, see that you don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them. A leper being healed should be proof for the priests that Jesus can do what only God can do. It's one of what John the Baptist recognises as the works of the Messiah. By healing the leper, Jesus is showing that he is the promised one. When he heals the centurion's servant, he draws attention not so much to the healing, but to the faith of the centurion. He says, verse 10, truly I tell you, really underlining it there, truly I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. He's using language there that picks up on Isaiah 25. where the prophet described God's future kingdom as being like a banquet, where the Lord would prepare a feast for his people as he took away the shroud of death that covers them and wiped every tear from their eyes. And this feast, Isaiah said, would be for people from all nations, not just Israel. And indeed, Jesus says, many of ethnic Israel will be shut out. But the centurion's faith shows that Jesus is that Messiah. He is the one who will save people from all nations and give them that great hope. And then, clearest of all at the end, when we're told that Jesus healed all the sick, Matthew says this, verse 17, this was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities and bore our diseases. You see, Isaiah spoke about someone known as God's servant, who would come and take his people's afflictions on himself, who would bear their suffering on himself. But what he was accomplishing was more than healing. You see, when Isaiah described Israel as being sick, the problem was their spiritual condition. It was their sin, their rebellion against God, that meant they were in such a wretched condition. So when God's servant comes, he comes to deal with the underlying problem. As Isaiah famously goes on, surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. Matthew is saying, through his healing, Jesus shows that he is the one that we need. But he does that because he is the one who comes to deal with our biggest underlying problem by paying the price for our sin, which he will do on the cross. We do live in a world cloaked with sickness. We're very aware of that now. But all sickness, even this virus, is ultimately a symptom of the fact that we live in a fallen world. And it all goes back to the root problem of sin. So we do need this Jesus, who is full of compassion, who has all power and authority. But we need him to deal with the root problem. We need to trust in his death to pay for our sin, in his work there for us. And then we can look forward to that day when he will deal with all sickness and banish all diseases, when he really will wipe every tear from our eyes. And if we wonder if we can really have that confidence, well, as we see here, his word never fails. Well, let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for all that we see of his glory here, for his perfect compassion, for his power and authority, that nothing is too hard for him. And yet we thank you that he came into our world and that he suffered and died for us, that we might be forgiven and reconciled to you and have great hope in your glorious future. So we pray you'd help us to put all of our hope in him, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.